The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Okay, hello. Good afternoon. The good news is, unbeknownst to you, the temperature has gone up about 5 degrees outside, so it's a sultry 32 degrees. So it's just like 15 degrees above yesterday, right? It feels like nice.
Who doesn't have, so there's two handouts. One is the January IP career events.
Is anybody missing that one? Looks like that. And how about this one? This is the IP career links, longer one. Anybody got that too? All right, I can keep my job. Welcome.
So this is going to be informal, but introduction to just, those of you that are thinking about IP,
whether or not you really end up there, to begin you thinking a little bit more structured about how you entered the career field, courses to take, job interests, how to find alumni, things like that. I'm going to just mostly go over this document, which has a prominent link on the first page. It's actually a Google Doc. It's a live Google Doc, so every time we find something new and update a link, we update it there. So I would actually take this home, go to Google Doc, bookmark it, and then throw this away. This is a static document. The actual document is live, so it's going to have information that updates over time. And then this one is just two quick upcoming career events that I'll mention right now and then talk a little bit more about as we go through. And I'll leave a bunch of time for questions, and feel free to interrupt me as we go along. But so the first event is next week, January 13th, 3 to 5 p.m., a career workshop. So similar information to this, except I want to get way more individualized with you. So I want you to bring your resumes, and I'll review them on the spot, and we'll have more particular questions about, like, how do I find an individual alumni in my field, or, you know, I'm interested in this, ideas about where I go. It's drop-in, so 3 to 5, come for whatever part of it you can. If you want to come in for 15 minutes, ask a question, and leave, that's totally fine. I don't expect all of you will be there, especially not all of you necessarily at the same time, so I'm hoping it provides an opportunity to give a little more kind of individualized attention. And then I'm always available for appointments. I will continue to announce times when we do various kinds of workshops, either with me, other Pidgeot staff, or faculty members, where you can get other kinds of either group workshops or one-on-one advice. And that will just, that's what the practice group does. We'll just continue throughout your next 3 years, 2.5, and offer you opportunities to work with us. And as you narrow down your ideas about what you want to do, we'll give you more particular assistance. And, you know, hopefully you're relatively broad right now. And that's what this workshop on Tuesday will be, a more broad workshop, just to kind of help you as you go along through this path, kind of get more narrow and narrow. That's my own philosophy on looking for jobs. Different people do it different ways, and you should pick the advice that most tailors to how you like to do things. My own theory is that you want to, as you go along, kind of get more and more narrow, not broad. So my theory is the shotgun approach, applying for any job that comes along your desk, is going to lead to a less fulfilling job and less positive responses than really tailoring yourself to what you learn to know is what you're really most interested in, and tailor down the world to that narrower subsets, and then really go at it. So I would prefer that you meet everybody in the Washington, D.C. area doing software patents, then apply for any job that mentions intellectual property, or just any job that's open. You know, and that's just my own theory. Other people do it different ways. That tailors to my own personal advice on how to use open job listings. So I probably, actually, you guys weren't in my previous session, but if you look at the
this document, you'll notice that the job listing part of the document is on the back page, and it's last. And that's for two reasons, I think. You know, my own personal advice is chronologically, I think you should be looking at the open listings after you've prepared yourself, right? After you know what you're looking for. And also that in some ways it's the least important part. So the open job listing is the one that everybody can find and apply for. And it may or may not be what you really want to do. And especially now, since what you're largely doing is looking for internships, part-time work, volunteer work, externships, etc., I think you have the luxury of being focused and picky. Time, January, February, using this time to try to explore within your own head what you think those ideal jobs look like. And you may not know. And we're going to talk about resources on how to find that. But that would be the process that I would be doing now. It's still early. So as you know, employers are not allowed to hire before December 1st. But nobody hires then anyways, right? They all want to see your grades. So nobody starts even entertaining the possibility of hiring anyone for the summer until after your first year grades come out. And then even then, they're doing the same thing you are. They don't want to just pick the first person who comes to the door. They're trying to cast their net. And so even for the more competitive jobs, those small number of 1L firm jobs, for instance, they still exist, but they're a pretty small number, the paying kind. They'll probably start hiring in mid-February, early March. You know, that's kind of that window. That window goes first. Government, public interest jobs, March, April. You know, so I mean, you have some time, and I would use that time now to kind of focus on what you're looking for. So here are the steps in kind of chronological order. So the first one. So what does that mean? That means get connected to student organizations. So is everybody here on the IPLS listserv? IP Law Society. So if you're not, join it when you leave here, even if you're just exploring IP. But that's where basically all the information is going to come out from the IP program, from the students. There's open jobs when we know about them are posted there. All the events for the week. So if you're not already on that, you get a weekly listserv every Tuesday usually that says what's going on the week. So get connected to the student organizations. There's also sub-organizations for communications law, for sports and entertainment law, and is there a separate one for media law maybe? But so if you're interested in those areas, join those as well. In those areas, most of them rely on the IPLS listserv for your kind of weekly news blast. But they'll have particular mixers and happy hours and that kind of stuff too. And all of those organizations are ways to connect with the alumni itself as well. Especially the IPLS listserv, most of the people on that listserv are actually alumni. So you don't have to get off the listserv when you graduate. So a lot of people on that listserv are alumni who like to go to events with current students and stuff. So going to those kind of mixers, et cetera, is a good way to meet current alumni. Connect with the program. So the program is PIDGIP, Program on Information Justice and Intellectual Property. We use the IPLS listserv for most of our student-oriented announcements, but we also have our own listserv, which is an external listserv, which is where we're communicating to the outside world. You should get on that one, too. And there's a link here to get on that. There's also, we do Facebook, we do Twitter, we do all that kind of stuff. So do all the social media connections so you know what's going on. So that would be my first step. Second step, perfect your resume. So I think all of you should have gone through an OCPD, an initial kind of what a legal resume looks like, kind of a workshop, and should now have a resume that looks like a legal resume. So this semester, especially over the next month, your goal is to move on from having something that looks like a legal resume to having something that looks like an intellectual property legal resume. And that can be a little different. And we'll have different advice. So for instance, we're very strong on publications.
this field, intellectual property, most of it is very writing-based. Employers want to see publications. We strongly encourage you to do non-legal publications as well, things like blogs on a topic that's relevant to your interests. So if you're exploring fashion law and design law as a possible topic, you want to have a publication on that topic on your resume. The easiest way to do that is to write a blog for the IP brief on that topic. So they either join the IP brief or submit an unsolicited blog. But you want to write something, and I would have that as my goal for the next 2 months, you know, by the end of February, as early as you can. But by the end of February, write one thing, even if it's just a couple pages, on that area that you're focusing on. So once you kind of figure out, like, oh, I want to go into this area, or if there's three, then you got to write three blogs. You got to have something on there that shows that you have an interest and can write in the area in which you're going on. And that's going to just give you a huge leg up on other people who are not expressing that interest. This is also a way for those of you who are looking at your resume, it's like, okay, I've done a lot of babysitting, and I was an RA, and blah, 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 and none of it looks like legal work. That's a way to come out. Write something. So you want your resume, and when I say moving from the legal resume to the IP resume has things that when they look at it, quickly, you know, everybody spends about 30 seconds looking at a resume. Nobody reads the fine print. They're just looking at the headings, you know, the stuff you have in bold. And you want some of that stuff in bold to be related to what you want to do. And so if you don't have any work experience related to that, then join organizations, write something, become a blogger on the IP brief, become a dean's fellow for a faculty, do, you know, you figure out something to do and then put it somewhere big, you know. Like when you're a 1L, often I would encourage people to move like an activity into an experience. By the time you're a 3L, I'm going to tell you move that activity back to activities because I want you to have experience. But if you don't have any experience now, then you got to make it up. Do other things. Take a leadership position in an organization. Do some volunteer work. We at PGIP will start having some volunteer tasks coming up, some editorial tasks, working on some different, you know, papers, research topics, things like that. That's one way to do it. Again, IP brief, an active role in the student organizations, etc. So you're looking to kind of come out as an IP person. So when you look at it, you don't just look like a law student. You look like an intellectual property law student. So there is a link to basically what I said and more on that IP-specific resume review guide. So there's a Google Doc. So as you're, you know, over the next, I would say, couple weeks, make sure you read that. Take another pass at your resume and then bring it into me and let's talk about it and I'll give you some more advice and we'll try to make it even better, right? Plan your coursework. So you all got an introduction to Pathways in the last session, right? So that's really where that comes. Pathways is useful for two purposes. One is there are kind of broad descriptions of each field. So in intellectual property, for instance, as you may know, there are various subfields. So there are those of you who have hardcore science engineering backgrounds, you have a master's in physics and etc., and you're really looking to go into patent law. And then there's two career paths there. There's patent prosecution, which actually requires that science background, and then there's patent litigation, which others of you could go into if you have a real interest in litigation and an interest in patents even without the science background. But it's looking for those kind of people. You know, it's often looking for economists and math majors and people who, even if they didn't qualify for the science, for the patent bar per se, are still kind of in the field. You know, so firms are looking for people who can work not only with the lawyers, but with the clients. Right? So that's why they like science types for patent law, because the experts they're using in the trial are all geeks. So they want somebody like that interviewing them on the other side. Like, they want you to like the person that you're working with. So even if you don't qualify for the patent bar, but you still feel like you're one of those, I wouldn't write off patent litigation at all. I would encourage you to look at it. It's a big growing field, and it's worth checking out. Okay, there's other of you who are here because you're like a literature major, or you played in a band, and you really want to do like copyright or music or movies, etc. And that's totally game two, same deal. Those firms that do that kind of work are looking for people who can work with the clients in that area. So there's identifying kind of that skill set and then the legal skills that go along with it. So if you want to work in the music area, having a kind of love of music is a good start. And then you start thinking about the legal skills that you need in order to work in the music industry. Part of that's copyright. Part of it's going to be media and communications law. Part of it could be like employment law, et cetera, depending on where you end up within that field. You may not be doing intellectual property at all, or it may be a small subset of what you do, or a large subset. But, you know, very few music industry lawyers, for instance, do only copyright. So figuring that kind of stuff out, some of that's described in Pathways, some of that's described in some of the documents off of these links, and then we can talk more about it. The planning the coursework part, obviously, so registration happens in like March for both summer and fall. So as you're moving towards the end of February and the beginning of the March, you want to look at the nice thing about Pathways is it shows all the different courses that are offered. And you want to look at those and decide, okay, these are the ones I really want to focus on. We have over 30 IP-specific courses, so you can't take them all. You especially can't take them all if you want to take some other really major important classes like employment law, corporations, etc. So you're going to have some winnowing. And then if you are planning on doing the IP legal clinic, that's a full year 14 credit course. So it X's out a lot of possibilities on the course side. And it's a choice you have to make about whether you want to do that. But so thinking through that, as much as possible before you register for courses in March, will give you a big leg up. I can't tell you how many students I get, you know, in third year, and they don't have time to take all these courses they really want to take because they took other stuff that they didn't necessarily want to take, but they just thought was required, etc. So you got to make, there are choices to make there, but you don't have to make them now. You do have to start making them in March. Okay. Get connected to the national legal community. So now we're moving kind of from the WCL resources stuff to the broader networking connected to the national legal community. There are a host of organizations, they're listed here, that are national IP lawyers organizations that offer student memberships for $25. Get some of the conferences that often get the special job fairs, etc., like the ABA IP section at their spring meeting. Almost always has some kind of a job fair or something like that, where different kinds of employers are either mixing in a cocktail reception or sometimes more structured, have tables, etc. You want to go to those things.
You also want, as I mentioned in my last meeting, you're already there, but
I mentioned this a lot, but you know, searching for a job is like dating. Like you have to figure out whether you like the people. And if you don't, then you might want to shift somewhere else, right? So you're not just looking for work you like, you're looking for people you like. So you want to go to these kind of meetings, conferences, events here at WCL, etc., cocktail hours, receptions, like you want to hang out with the people. And if there are people that you feel like you like, they're going to like you, your job path's going to be much easier to find. Again, countless numbers of people that I know. You know, a lot of the people who have found the best jobs in this year's 3L class got those jobs by meeting someone at a reception, going to an ABA meeting, or going to a particular event and really getting turned on. Events are key for that. You know, if it's an event that seems really in the core of what you're interested in, do a little homework before you go. Like, figure out who the people are speaking and read their bios. Maybe even read, like, an article they wrote. Because if you can approach someone at a reception over a beer and actually be able to talk to them about the article they just wrote in some journal, it's going to come off as a great impression.
And you can do that in the course of 3 or 4 minutes.
And then just say, you know, I'd really love to come talk to you more about your job. Could I pop by sometime? And you're going to get a lot of yeses. And that's what you're looking for. Quick hits, you know. Meeting people, conferences, and receptions, your idea is like you want a lot of short meetings. You want to make a good impression and then try to get a follow-up, you know? So could I come by sometime? I really, you know, don't have time to meet a couple more people. Like, it's been really nice to meet you. Would it be possible for me to stop by your office sometime for coffee and just talk about your career and how I could be more like you? You know, those kind of things pan out very well. So that's get connected to the national legal community. And finally, and I would do this kind of more or less chronologically, like after you perfected your resume and got connected here and started going to events and joined the local bar association, etc., you want to start reaching out to alumni. So this is your greatest resource. This may be why you went to a big law school. So we have thousands of alumni. And there's, you know, in the intellectual property community itself, we have a list here. There's a link to it. It's about 500 different IP-focused alumni in the D.C. area. And they are all up and down the spectrum. But, I mean, many of the leading, the leaders of the IP practice, major firms are WCL alumni. The head of local technology associations. I mean, just all over the place. There's amazing alumni here. And very few people contact them. And they have an allegiance to the school. And they like to talk to students. They don't like to talk to students if you don't know what you're doing, right? You want to perfect yourself and have a good presentation. And I would write a, you know, proper, well-thought-out email. But I wouldn't be afraid to write those emails. And if you find somebody, and again, this list, I think I mentioned this in the last, but this, so our list of... I think it's the second one, Pidget IP Alumni Contacts. So that link has a list of about 500 different alumni with their job descriptions and their organization descriptions. If you're still looking for, like, you know, what specifically might I want to do in a field, whether or not you have a general idea, this is a fantastic place to get particular descriptions of actual jobs that people do. Yeah, there's all kinds of different kinds of patent lawyers, right? There's people that do licensing. There's people that just focus on software. There's people that do all different kinds of patents. You know, that's true in all these different sectors. You can, it's tagged. So it's tagged by field, copyright, patent, trademark, licensing. There's a special category for internet. There's people that do ITC work. So the, what you do with that is you make a copy of Google. It's a Google document, so you can make a copy of the document. And then it's yours. So then you can manipulate it. So you can take out the people you're not interested in. You can add a field for notes, which I would encourage you to do. And note whether you contacted that person, whether they wrote back, etc. Keep track of your contacts. You can add contacts, etc. And especially you can sort by column. And you can only sort by column if you make your own copy, because it's not set up to allow you to edit. And in order to sort by the different columns, you have to have editorial permission. So you make a copy, and then you can sort it by that field. If you know you want to do trademark, you can just look at the trademark attorneys. If you know you want to do patent stuff, etc. And then you can make your own classifications within that, you know, as you go. So that's something that I would encourage you to make a copy of in the next week or two. Start, it'd take you maybe an hour to just read the whole thing. Even less, really, if you just kind of skim through it. But I'd be looking for those people, like, a lot of you will, a light bulb will go off, like, that looks like such a cool job. And contact those people, but get your stuff together first. Make sure your resume is hot, etc. We can talk more about how to approach those meetings. But in basic, you know, the nature of your letter is, I'm a 1L law student. I'm really interested in this field. I noticed that you're doing X. I would love to know more about how to do X. It would be great to do X sometime. Could I drop by your office for 15 minutes and just talk about what kind of courses I should take and experiences I should get in order to do X? You know, and most of those people are going to be very hospitable to that. And I would feel free to send an email or twice, or send an email and call and follow up. You know, people are busy. If you've ever tried to email me, it's very difficult. So if you don't get something back, don't give up. You know, do an email, give a phone call, and try to reach out to those people and just build your network that way. And when you get those meetings, ask them who else they should contact.
If you make a good impression, they'll use
names of their friends, and that's just how you build it out. And it's research for you. You're really, you want to go into those meetings trying to figure out if you like that job, and you're good at that job, if you think it's something, then what you should be doing to get that. And go in seeking advice. But at the same time, they're going to be scoping you out for, hey, this person's impressive. I'm going to actually, you know, help them get a job. I'm going to help them get an internship. So, yeah, please, thank you for interrupting me.
At some point here, can you put your email up on the...
That was S. Flynn, right? S-F-L-Y-N-N. Okay, so that's alumni. We'll talk a lot more about that again in the workshop on Tuesday, or an individual advising with me. Like, I can help you identify alumni, although honestly the best way to identify them is just to go through that list and just search it out. Like, it's a great resource to get to know. And again, it's a live document, so we update it as we go along, but for the most part, we just release it once a semester. So if you make a copy now, you should have it. And then on the back, there's some links to IP-specific job and internship listings. The one that I would especially point out, because it's run by a WCL alumni, is the tech and communications law IP tech jobs. So that's run by Ali Sternberg, who is the president of the IP Law Society and a fellow at PGIP a few years ago. And she now works as an attorney at CCIA, which is the industry association for the tech community, the Googles and the Yahoos and the Facebooks and the Microsofts of the world. So she herself is a great contact and is very interested in meeting people who are interested in that side of things, so I would contact her specifically. But this resource she created last year is amazing. It's an open public document, so these are publicly available job opportunities. Because of that, you can edit it. So when you find stuff, you can add it there. When we find stuff, we often add it there. It does include patent jobs as well, but it tends to be more on the tech side. So definitely those software patents I mentioned, etc. But you may find it across the board there. And there's a ton of the kind of tech policy type jobs. You know, if you're interested in working for technology companies, for internet companies, for all of that kind of stuff, you'll find a lot of it there. It's national. So there's, you can sort it by place. So if you're really looking to go back to Palo Alto or San Diego or whatever, you can find jobs that way. There's obviously a large DC section, and it's constantly up to date. It lists both jobs currently open, and then as you'll find, they'll be shaded in gray scale, jobs that weren't open, but internships. So those open and close, and you can only apply for a copyright internship when they're open. But they'll grayscale it when it's closed, so you can still read that and know that it's probably going to come open. You know, it was open last February 15th. Chances are this February 15th it's going to be open. So it's a great idea to look at that also within the next couple weeks. So my next couple look at the alumni directory, and then look at that job list to get an idea for what might be coming up and to be kind of tagging stuff that looks most interesting to you. And once you've identified a couple of those most interesting things, you know, that's a good time to come talk to me or start the alumni outreach, et cetera, to kind of, you know, start honing that. The rest of these things are various other kinds of job boards. This is actually an excerpt of a longer 8-page document, and the rest of the pages are just employer directories, which I actually think is a very valuable resource. So that's, again, on the doing research about the type of employer instead of whether they have an open job, especially this part of your career, I would say more important than the open jobs, right? You know, when you're a 3L and you're actually looking for a job, then the open job listings become very important. But right now, you're really looking for what kind of employer most floats your boat. And so those employer directories can be helpful as well. So if you're, you know, if you get through the alumni stuff, et cetera, that might tee you off to a type of job that leads you into, oh, maybe I should look at, you know, this field, this kind of little subfield. So if it's software patents or whatever, there's a software alliance business organization that you could find in an employer's directory. You could contact them. Start getting out of the alumni into the broader industry and some of those. Again, I would put that a little lower on the list to the sense that it's helpful to have an idea of what you're looking for before you start combing through those, because they're massive. You know, intellectual property is a massive field. There's if you're honed a little bit, those things can be useful, because there's patent directories, there's communications law directories, there's et cetera. So that covers this. I talked about the workshops. I didn't talk about the second item, which is on January 23rd, we will be doing our spring alumni, IP alumni and mentors advising session. Now this is where, especially alumni, they're not all alumni, but especially alumni practicing in various IP fields, will be coming in to hold a series of like 15-minute kind of speed networking sessions with students. This one is competitive, so we accept your applications to come, and we review those applications and link people up who are especially tailored to the advisors that are coming. So the way you do this one is you go through those other steps I mentioned, and you perfect your resume, and you figure out what you're interested in. The applications are due on January 20th. We will prioritize 2Ls and 3Ls, but we always let a series of 1Ls into the advising sessions, and depending on demand, there may be fewer or more spots. But we're looking for people with demonstrating commitment in intellectual property in the field, and to be kind of on your game. So these are, we will show you, they're not online yet. But we have, you know, for instance, the managing partner of MSK, which is the leading DC lawyer for the entertainment industry, is going to be here. He's been practicing for 25 plus years. He does both kind of international trade and work for the movie industry, and he's agreed to meet with students, and we're going to try to tailor students to him that are most ready to kind of meet with him. The lead Supreme Court litigator on copyright issues, Constance, who argued the recent Aereo case, is going to be here. We have someone from CCIA coming in. We have three partners from Finnegan, which is the largest IP firm in the country, coming. I mean, so these are going to be like a lot of really top people, and I'd really like you to come and get meetings with them, but it will be competitive. And so you can always get the one-on-one advising with me and other faculty members. And as you go through the process, we will open up these kind of alumni sessions as well. And that doesn't mean that you can't contact some of the same people outside, even if you don't get an appointment, but there's just only so many. I think we have 10 advisors coming in. Each one will do probably 10 appointments or so. It depends on demand. We'll try to get as many people through as possible. I think that's it. Oh, the final thing I was going to mention is we do that twice a year. So we do it in the spring, and we do it again in the fall. And as I mentioned, we give priorities as you go into the class, and the fall one is not open to 1Ls at all, so you'll be coming in 2Ls. I'll guarantee everyone will get a meeting if you've taken at least one IP course as a 2L. And a lot of you will get meetings as 1L as well. So that's how that works. There's a question somewhere.
Since most of us haven't, or 1Ls, and we haven't taken or can't take an IP class, what kind of commitments or were you looking for?
Some of those other things I mentioned, right? So how many people are in the elective? You raise your hand. Okay.
I literally, it was my first choice.
Not everybody gets in. Not everybody gets in. So then you join the organizations, you join the IP. Organizational things that pop you out. I mean, we're looking for the same thing that employers are, which is that does your resume have something that pops IP?
If your resume pops IP, you're going to get interviews. If it doesn't, it'll screen you out.
You know, so the people who are just basically that, you know, most of you, since you're here, are concentrated in this area, it's frankly not open for the rest of the school that just maybe wants to do IP. Like, that's not what these are for. These are for people who are really focusing in the area and want, you know, targeted career advice. So you want your resume to pop out on that. Now, if you get to, and you want to do as much of that now as you can, as you're moving into your second year, then the summer becomes the way you pop. And there are several different things that you're thinking about for the summer, right? So one is IP-oriented work experience. That can be across the board. So there are lots of government jobs and they're listed here. So I always encourage people to think about several different kinds of baskets of jobs, right? So you've got your executive branch, and that can be the Copyright Office, the PTO, but it can also be all these other agencies that have intellectual property going on that you've never heard of. Department of Homeland Security employs over 50 intellectual property attorneys. The Commerce Department. The Commerce Department actually has an international office that used to be only WCL graduates. It had 5 attorneys, and they were all from WCL, doing international enforcement. Customs and Border Agency has tons of intellectual property attorneys. So looking broader, the OCPD webpage has some great resources that we flag on this that has a list of, I think, at least 20 different agencies that have intellectual property. Okay, so there's the executive branch. There's legislative branch, right? So there's the intellectual property subcommittees, House and the Senate. And then there's other committees that do tangential work, the Finance Committee on Trade Agreements, different things. Legislative. Judicial. So I would encourage, especially anybody who's thinking about the litigation track, to get a judicial experience, whether or not it's an IP-specific judicial experience. So if you're looking to get into litigation, all litigators admire people who have worked for judges, because you're working for the people they're trying to influence. And so that's just whether you do a full year clerkship or whether you do like an externship or internship or summer job, if you're thinking about litigation, put working for a judge on your list. We do have a link on that document to intellectual property specific judges, and there's a bunch of them, especially administrative law judges in the PTO on both trademarks and patents. There's judge-like entities in the Copyright Office that adjudicate like DMCA issues and things like that. There are, in the trade area, the International Trade Commission spends about 40% of its work on copyright and patent matters. So all of those are identified, including WCL alumni who are those judges. I would start there. And some of them are indicated whether they've taken WCL clerks in the past. So just, you know, indicating the places where you're going to find the most open doors. So that's judges. Then doing some kind of advocacy work as one of those things that you feel, whether it's, and by that I mean representing a client. So that could be in a firm representing clients that way. It could be in an NGO that represents clients, right? Or it could be IP clinic. But having that experience of doing client representation, even if it's not IP clinic, by the way, just having the client representation experience, if it's civil practice client or whatever, but you want that experience of like creating a letter to a client, forming a client attorney relationship, dealing with the issues. So, you know, getting those attorney issues under your belt. All of those experiences are things that you're kind of looking at when you look at your resume. I encourage you to think of it as a planning document. So you keep your resume alive. Look at your resume now, but think about what you want your resume to look like in answer to your question in the fall when you're doing more of these interview sessions, etc. Even what you want your resume to look like in 3 weeks when you apply to come to the advising session here. Like, look at it now and think, God, it's not popping IP. What can I do? You know? I'm going to go contact the editor-in-chief of AIP Brief right now so that I can put it on my resume, et cetera. So constantly be thinking forward about what's missing. And again, I would fill it with some of those baskets, you know, private sector, public sector, judicial, and then within those the various branches, so you can think of which you do which.
And think about, you know,
laying it out on your schedule. So in meshed with the enrolling for classes, et cetera, when do you want to do perhaps an externship? Over the summer, etc. Because that's going to balance on how much time you have to take courses. I mean, if you want to do a really intensive externship, you might want to take fewer courses that semester. So you might want to take more credits either in the summer or have a heavy load and a light load, etc. So you can kind of balance. Each one of those kind of externship, internship experiences, you know, treat it like a trial for a job because they all are. Final point in response to your question. Okay, summer. Whether or not you're an intro to IP, the primary opportunity you have to take a bunch of summer courses before you go on the fall 2L job market, searching for summer 2L jobs, so those are kind of the plum jobs, right, is to take courses over the summer. So we offer an IP summer sessions. I think there's 12 credits of courses offered. Most of them are, I actually have, this is last year's program. But IP summer sessions, there's about 12 different credits offered, most of them in one credit short courses. You can take a maximum of 7 or 8 credits over the summer. So potentially you could have 7 or 8 courses by the time you're at 2L that are already in the intellectual property area. Most of them are tailored for people that haven't had an introduction first. So there's an introduction to international IP in the first week, which serves as basically an introduction to IP generally. So for anybody who doesn't have the intro course and would like one, I would consider taking that. There's also the Geneva program. So the Geneva program is a 4-credit program on international IP and international trade. The international IP is taught at the World Intellectual Property Organization and a series of different intergovernmental organizations. And then the trade part is taught at the World Trade Organization. Especially tailored for people that might be interested in going into the international or policy part of the work. I think it can be useful for everyone, but it's particular on people who are interested in like IP and trade, international intellectual property, transnational, people who want to be on the more international side of things.
It's a great place to think about writing topics. I mean, it's a very policy-heavy course. You're learning about kind of the globalization of intellectual property,
and its effects on North and South trade relationships.
So I just have a question with this, because especially the short courses, so I actually ended up not applying just because all the jobs are starting to happen. And so that's sort of, I felt like where my focus should be. And so I just want to know if there's a way to balance.
So the short courses in D.C., are very easy to combine with work because each short course, so they're clustered into weeks. Mm-hmm. So the first week is international, the second week is like copyright and technology, the third week is patents. You can do all 3 weeks if you want to, but if you know your kind of particular interest, you could do like a week of courses. Mm-hmm. And as you're applying for jobs, you can let them know that either you can do it one of two ways. If you know you're going to do it as you're applying for jobs, you know, if you get a job offer, you can ask them, hey, is it okay if I take a week off courses and exactly what I'm working with you on? And they'll always say yes. People have done that on the Geneva program as well, especially if you're actually, you know, if you're interested in the international side of things, asking for, that's a 3-week course, but it's taught over the first 3 weeks in July, which is when nobody in D.C. does a whole lot of work. It's 4th of July week and the next two. So if you were doing that, I would start work as early as possible, you know, as soon as your finals are done in May. And then you'd work a solid 6 weeks, and then you take 3 weeks off, and then you come right back, and then you still have another 6 weeks of 12 work experience, which is usually the standard, and gotten through these courses. It's a busy summer, but I've had several people do that. Most accomplished students. Yeah. You can also pick and choose, and you can combine them with any other summer course you want. So, and you don't have to choose any of that now. Registrate for summer. Registration is open in March, but you can actually continue to register later. For the Geneva program, they're accepting applications and deposits now, and that one is becoming a little competitive. I think they're somewhat close to full, but people are going to come in and out. I mean, I'm not really worried about if you really want to. If you really want to do Geneva, I would apply now. If you maybe want to do Geneva, I wouldn't worry about it. If you really want to do summer, I wouldn't apply now anyways. It's not really open. We don't really open registration until March, but you can add it. And the summer courses, most of them are a one credit, kind of either a 2 day or 4 mornings or 4 afternoons or evenings. So you can even work half days. I mean, if you're just looking to pick up a course, you could actually work most of the week or most of each day and stuff like that. Now, if you're particularly interested in like a fair use course or whatever, I think that one's offered in 4 mornings. So you can still work in the afternoons. If you're looking to take a full load, you could accomplish a full load in 3 weeks. So you still have the rest. Because there's a maximum of 7 or 8 credits that you can even take. So if you load it up on IP, you'd still have a lot.
Other questions?
Too much information? This is the first one I've done of these. Was this helpful? Was like, is it the right level of information? Okay. Other questions, but I encourage you to come back. We will advertise it. Sign up for the practice group this week. Would be great. And then I will advertise on that list the workshop, and you can bring in your resumes and get more to include it.